Well, hello to all. It's Wednesday, March 23rd, 2022. During a phone visit this past week, a wonderful friend reminded me of a teaching dating back to 2018, The Shepherd's Heart. And after re-listening to it, I've dusted it off, and we're going to take another look in our approach to Resurrection Sunday. As a boy, David was the shepherd for his father's flocks, and he proved capable in his skills. He was accountable for their care, and he certainly grew in his confidence with God. Later, as king, he reflected on his shepherding days, and he found such comfort and security in thinking of God as his personal shepherd. And in Psalm 23, the 23rd Psalm, David poetically expressed his meditations of God as the shepherd of his life. Now, in parts 1 and 2 of the Good Shepherd series, we looked at Jesus likening himself to the Good Shepherd, focusing on the watchfulness for his own personal heart and in showing God's love. And in Psalm 23, David says, a psalm of David, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. The Hebrew word here for Lord is Jehovah, translated God. And here David, a king over all of Israel and Judah, he felt he needed what a shepherd would supply. You know, he didn't consider him self-sufficient. If reading through Psalms, we gather that David was extremely aware of his needs and shortcomings. He wanted God to be his guide, his protector, his feeder, his healer, his rescuer. He wanted God to do those things for his personal life that he himself, when a shepherd boy, had done for his father's sheep. And just so we're all on the same track for where these shepherding teachings are taking us, you know, God is love and light. Jesus, his only begotten Son, was sent to declare him, to make known his nature, who is spirit, and Jesus made it known for all to see by the way he conducted his life, by the way he lived, his manner, his message, and of course, he spoke the words of God. He came to introduce to people the unchanging nature of God. We read last week that Jesus always did the Father's will. So it is understandable that both God and his Son had the virtuous nature of great shepherds. Jesus, of course, being the imitator of God's divine nature, just like we're encouraged to do. So here with these teachings, our end game for this attention to shepherds is to refresh or restart our fervent hearts in the service of our Lord, in our ministries of reconciliation, in utilizing that word of reconciliation that God gave us. And reading about Jesus comparing himself to a good shepherd will stimulate our thoughts, and yet it brings no conflict about David calling God his shepherd. So in this 23rd Psalm, David really meticulously detailed the extreme love and care the shepherd carried for each individual sheep within that flock. He knew well their extreme timidity, their dependency, and their unpredictable stimulus to the slightest distraction. He knew their apprehension toward things that were unfamiliar, and really anything else that would make them unsettled and chaotic, which would always lead them to erratic behavior where the shepherd would really have to get involved to save them and typically rescue them. So here's what the shepherd knew the sheep. Well, here's what the sheep knew. They knew the voice of their shepherd and the other sheep in their sheepfold. Now, the third thing sheep knew was food. And it was during those grazing moments, without them realizing their whereabouts, that they kind of blindly, just with nose down, followed the grass. And the next thing they knew, they raised up their head to take a breath, and they were lost. They were lost. And I do want to apologize for something and revoke what I said in part one about sheep being stubborn. I believe that was a hasty mischaracterization on my part. Sheep get in trouble because they have the nature of sheep, not because they're stubborn. You know, what we perceive as maybe a stubborn moment is very reasonable on the inside of the mind, the simple mind of a sheep. Look at this in Psalm 103, verse 13. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. For he knoweth our frame. He remembereth that we are dust. You know, shepherds know their sheep. And in knowing their frailties, they have pity and patience. But as soon as those sheep heard the voice of their shepherd, they rejoiced in their little sheep hearts. They followed right away. They didn't get lost because of stubbornness. And again, I'm sorry I said that. Please forgive me. You know, what a psalm to inspire trust and confidence and safety and comfort and hopefulness in our Lord God. Everyone has a deep craving for peace, contentment, satisfaction. And David showed that God alone is a supply for all these longings within the heart of people. In all that David had been for his father's sheep, Jehovah was for him, and of course, with perfect provision in every instance. You know, that's the emphasis of this psalm. Knowing a lot about the sheep business, God was the best shepherd ever, and David related to God as his personal shepherd. That was his heart's desire. Thinking through that illustration, that it put a song in David's heart, and his song began, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." Isn't that reassuring? You know, this is the testimony from a king, mind you. He's a king by the time he does this. He's not still a shepherd boy. A king who had all the resources that a kingdom extends. What could he have possibly wanted? Yet, David desired with such an eagerness to have a relationship with God for the fulfilling of the wants in the human heart that things can't satisfy. David called God Jehovah, my shepherd. And the word for shepherd is a name for indicating the limitlessness of his care. In this situation, it's used in likeness to God. God has everything, and there is no beginning nor ending to his eternal attributes, his provisions. You know, God isn't in need of any more power. He's all powerful. He's not in need of any more knowledge or wisdom. This is the Jehovah Shepherd that David sought and found. The Hebrew word for shepherd carries the same definition as the Greek word for feed that we read, in part one, John 21:16, where Jesus told Peter to feed his sheep. The meaning of both of those words, the Hebrew word and the Greek word, they add that element of governing and ruling the flock. So, Those words, that Hebrew word and that Greek word, mean in addition to the shepherding duties of feeding, nourishing, cherish, keeping, tending the sheep, that King David beseeched God, his shepherd, to include the ruling and governing of his life, I could go for that. How about you? You know, wouldn't we respond yes to inviting God to rule and to shepherd, to guide and direct every aspect of our life? Well, David thought of God as his personal shepherd, just as we think of Jesus as our personal Lord and Savior. But of course, that is literal. That is not an illustration. And as Jesus said, he is the only way unto the Father. And David's song continues with the figurative mention of sheep resting in green pastures. Verse 2, he maketh me to lie down in green pastures. That's what the shepherd does. Now, lying down in green pasture sounds simple enough, but the shepherd boy inside King David could clearly recall that getting sheep to the point where they would lay down is a little more involved than one might think. Sheep do not lie down easily. And the green pastures refer to meadows with young tender sprouts of grasses and herbs. And they were timid and skittish animals. If they sensed danger, there's no laying down. You know, they would respond restlessly to friction, even among the other sheep. Flies, parasites would aggravate them, and they would not lay down. And of course, just as almost anything that draws breath, they refuse to go to bed hungry. So rest comes for the sheep once the shepherd has calmed their fears, soothed their aggravations, treated their bodies to repel pests, and filled their bellies with good food. And those green pastures, speaking of those, you know, they didn't just appear. No. The shepherd would invest time to locate them, and then he would work tirelessly to clear the rocky trails, the uneven area there where they would have to walk, in order to arrive at those hard-to-reach places where there were lush pastures. In verse 2, he leadeth me beside the still waters. Now, this presents another need the shepherd must supply. Now, any good shepherd would want his sheep to drink clean, fresh, flowing water. But for the sheep, if the noise of the water's current spooked them, they would not drink. Now, a hireling would simply take them to some little water source where there was no noise and the water was just standing there. And of course, that would probably be stagnant source. But you know, the shepherd did not do that. He would find a very fresh source of water. Then, if it was loud or running too swiftly over at the edge, he would put stones to block off an area where it would slow the movement of the water and quiet and calm it. He would make the waters non-threatening to the sheep. You know, there's a saying, you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make him drink. And I do, you know, that goes a long ways. But the shepherd, this is interesting, because the shepherd evaluated the water source, and then, knowing his sheep, and knowing they needed that good fresh water, he would figure out a way to present that water just the way the sheep liked it. What a tip! Absolutely. Caring for the sheep required knowing them, and then the love, the desire, the willingness to invest into their care. You know, we consider these details not to show how hard the shepherd worked, but to see his heart, his love, his commitment to do whatever was necessary to provide the very best. And in verse 3, he restoreth my soul. The Hebrew word for restores my soul, it has several meanings. And of course, the meaning is determined by the context of its usage. The various meanings which could appropriately work for this verse are rescue, restore, retrieve, reverse, set back, repair, refresh, and also bring to repentance. The word soul, of course, refers to the seat of the intellectual mind that houses our appetites, desires, emotions, passions, but it also houses the dubious activity of our mind. And in this sense, it was kind of some of the dictionaries mentioned the word backsliding. So we know it is referring to those areas that maybe things we aren't thinking just right, and we do something that's not good. And in his life, David, even as he expressed in other Psalms, he was familiar with the agony of sin, the struggle to confess, and then the blessedness of forgiveness. So, as for the sheep, because of their anatomy, when they get into a precarious situation, it's easy for them to fall over on their side. And when they do that, they automatically kind of roll onto their back. And then all they can do is flail their legs in the air and bleat. You know, they're crying out for help for the shepherd. And if they're not rescued soon enough, gas will collect in their stomachs and cut off their air passage, because it just keeps filling up with this gas. And once their air passage is cut off, then eventually they suffocate. So in the sheep world, this position is called the cast down position. And upon finding this cast down sheep, the shepherd would calm it. He would gently turn it over. He would lift it up. He might massage his legs just to get the circulation moving again. And he might carry it on his shoulders. You see these pictures in Bible dictionaries and in children's Bibles and other places where the shepherd actually has a little sheep wrapped around the back of his neck like a shawl. He's carrying maybe a little lamb in his arms. You know, David's poetry projected what God did for him when he was in a cast down state. And he would be flat on his back and could not get up. Every time he cried for help, his personal shepherd rescued his soul. So images of a cast down sheep, I think they carried a deep and personal meaning for David. In Psalm 51, starting in the first verse, this Psalm 51 is a great read. I think every beloved one can relate in some way. But we'll start in verse 2. It says, David says, prays to God or speaks to God, "Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity and cleanse me from my sin." You know, David's flat on his back here. He can't get up. "For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me." Verse 6, "Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts." Wow. "And in the hidden part, thou shalt make me to know wisdom." So, you know, how is anything but God and his truth ever going to get us on our feet again? Verse 10 continues, "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me." Now, although the word for renew is not the same as restore in Psalm 23, both words bring about the same outcome. And at the conclusion, David sang, "God restored my soul." And verse 3 continues, "He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake." And he leads me. The shepherd was a guide. if you were to translate the bleating of the sheep into English, it would say, "Where is my shepherd?" How often in the Bible do we read promises for God, His love and His willingness, His mercy, His grace to lead us, to direct our paths, to make our way free, to make it clear? And a path is a way, and spiritually it is used to describe a course of action. David remembered that God led him in a course of action, which was righteousness, or, of course, walking or a path in the right ways. For his namesake. Now, this imagery to me is just electrifying when you think it all the way through. Now, the shepherd guides his sheep well with a supreme view to the credit and glory of the shepherd's own name. Now, it wasn't for a pat on the back kind of reward, but whatever reputation you carried with your name, it became your family's legacy. Healthy sheep were a glory to his name, a glory to his father, a glory to his children. Now think about that in our administration. Think about it in the Gospels, where Jesus glorified his father. Think about it in our lives, where we glorify God in our walks. And those lead us to rewards for the future. Well, David, here's his reputation. He slew a lion. He slew a bear just to save a sheep in his flock from their jaws, from death. Look how he related his work experience. See, as a shepherd, this is his work experience. He's going to put this on a resume. So look how he related his work experience on his resume in his interview with King Saul in 1 Samuel 17:34. And David said unto Saul, "Thy servant kept his father's sheep. And there came a lion and a bear and took a lamb out of the flock. And as I went out after him and smote him and delivered it out of his mouth. And when he arose against me, I caught him by the beard and smote him and slew him. Thy servant slew both the lion and the bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine, which was Goliath, shall be as one of them, seeing he hath defiled the armies of the living God." You know, David had done this. This was his own personal experience. And he owned it, and he sold it. Saul hired him on the spot for this job of facing Goliath. So in verse 4, David goes on, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil." Now, the only way to reach those mountainous green pastures was through steep and narrow ravines. It makes a perfect landscape for wild animals, unstable earth under your feet, little projectiles and little cubbies where you could get lost or fall or, you know, whatever. So it's kind of a landscape for anything dark or evil. But you're walking through this, and there's a shadow of death. Now, a shadow is just that. It's a shadow. It does not say that he will or will not encounter evil. It's a shadow. You know there's potential all around. That shadow is there. But David said, "I will not be afraid of evil because thou art with me, even today." That shadow of evil. We're traveling through a world where there is shadow of evil. But we don't have to be afraid because God, the Christ in us, the gift of Holy Spirit, the wisdom of God, manifestations, they are with us and in us. David looked to God's shepherd-like nature and said, because you are with me, I will fear no evil. You know, but then again, David didn't use it as a foolhardy excuse to take on evil, just to try it out, or just to say, oh, God's not going to let anything happen to me. Or he didn't just want to be in that valley out of curiosity. No, he had a need. He had to get his sheep to fresh pastures. In verse 4, it continues, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Well, the rod, first of all, is a shepherd's tool used to protect the sheep, to defend them against predators. And the staff, David recalled that the staff gave him rest, because when he was tired and he was standing around with the sheep, he wouldn't be able to lean on it. It would kind of sort of take the weight off his feet. And it would have a crook at one end, and that staff would help him rescue sheep from thickets where maybe he couldn't even safely fit his body to reach in and get it. But he could take that crook and grab that sheep by its neck, by its leg, catch some part of his body and pull him out of that thicket. And then, of course, he had that oil that he carried with him that he would then tend to the wounds or the scratches, and that would set that little sheep up for healing. Both tools, when David thought of those, they brought comfort to his heart. Verse 5, thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. And you know what this message really, in its simplest form, is? Whether in a ravine or a grassy meadow, all kinds of dangers surrounded the flock. David safely fed his sheep in the presence of their enemies. He was the host at this banquet. He carried with him that horn of oil I mentioned. He treated any wounds the sheep incurred. And at this banquet in this green pasture, David used this feeding time to tend to them, to heal them, to refresh them. You know, there was no rush. There was no confusion, no disturbance. And they just kind of all settled in together. He played his music and entertained them. You know, this banquet that David set, the shepherd set, it was a soothing time for everybody's body and soul. And this is how David saw God, his shepherd. The verse is David's reflection that God's care for him is abundant and even excessive. Despite the continual presence of David's enemies, God soothed and refreshed his head, his mind, his thoughts. And then the physical body typically follows the head. A cup is a container, and David's cup was overflowing. Every need met with leftovers to spare, right? And knowing shepherd life, David saw God as his personal shepherd and penned this song 23. Jesus Christ being sent to reveal the nature of God, he then set forth his own comparison to shepherd life. I am the good shepherd. And figuratively, Jesus was a perfect shepherd for his father's sheep as he served throughout the earthly portion of his ministry. In verse 6, David finishes his lovely song, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Our love to you all, and God bless you.